we're going to do something that I've never done before, and Pastor Brad's a lot more bold. I'm a bit more self-conscious than he is, so I don't know who's in the right, which one's a better approach, but we're going to try to do a little bit of a rhyming summary of the story this morning to keep everyone interested in what's going on. So keep track with that, and I might even try to throw in a couple of hand motions in there too, because I hear that that's very helpful in learning things. I know it's done wonders in my life. So we have this giant, and if you're in the scriptures, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we learn a lot about this giant. I find it interesting that the author describes this giant so well. There's a very lengthy description about this giant that we have. First of all, we find out that he's a Philistine. Now, the Philistine and the Israelites, they had wars that went on for hundreds of years, both before this time and after this time. And so the giant's a Philistine, and pretty much everything that you can imagine a scary giant to have, he has. First of all, he's a Philistine champion, so he's not just some really big Philistine who's not very coordinated and can't even dunk a basketball. This guy's a champion. This guy has a lot going on for him. And they estimate that he's about 9 feet 2 inches tall, which this is perfectly to scale, thanks to Ruth Ellen and Renee. So, I mean, 9 feet 2 inches tall is pretty massive. Pretty massive. It depends. They did their measurements by cubits. And depending on how you want to interpret a cubit, whether it was a Near Eastern cubit of this sort or a Philistine cubit, some people estimate he may have even been 10 feet tall. But this guy was monstrous, absolutely huge. And he was covered in armor. So this guy really loved the color bronze, and he had this massive helmet that he put on his head. He had a coat of mail, which is kind of like those guys in Lord of the Rings wear so that no weapon can penetrate his armor or anything like that. He had a bronze sword. And my favorite part is he had this spear, and the tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds. 15 pounds, just the tip of his spear. And they estimate that all of his armor weighed about 125 pounds. And he could walk around in this like it was no big deal. Now, the Philistines and the Israelites were at war with each other, and generally in those times when you were at war, everyone fought each other, right? You met at the battlefield and you went crazy, and whoever gave up or retreated lost, and whoever killed everyone else won, and you kind of went about your day. But what happened in this situation is you had the Philistines on one hill and you had the Israelites on the other, and you had this valley in between them. And Goliath was so sure of himself, so arrogant and confident, that he decided, hey, instead of having us all fight each other, here's the deal. Israel, you provide one man, you come and fight me. And if I kill this man, then all of Israel, you guys can be slaves to the Philistines. But if this man conquers me, we'll be your slaves. And so this was his plan. So this is the first part of our story. Are we ready for this? We have Philistines and Israelites ready for war, and we have Goliath who's ready to settle the score. That's the first part. Are we going to remember that? No. Okay, we got a couple of nods. So Philistines and Israelites ready for war, Philistine ready, or we have Goliath is ready to settle the score. That's the first part of our story. And so it continues. This Goliath man, he comes into the valley, and this is what he says to the Israelites there. He tells them, he says, choose one man to come down here and fight me. And then he gets really defiant about things. He says, I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. And in verse 11 of the story, we hear that when Saul and the Israelites heard Goliath's challenge, they were terrified and they lost all hope. So they're completely hopeless. Now, Saul, who was king at the time, he was over 7 feet tall himself. So he wasn't any midget here, but he sees this Goliath and he wants nothing to do with him. And the armies of God want nothing to do with him. And we see in the story that Goliath would challenge the Israelites in the morning and in the evening, and he'd do this for 40 days. Now, a lot of times in the Bible, they use different numbers. The authors will use numbers. We're not sure here if this is a literal number. He did it for over a month, or whether it's a figurative number. But the number 40 in the scriptures usually means a time of probation and testing. So it's like Israel's on trial here, and they're pretty much doing nothing. They're just sitting here because they're so scared of Goliath. But we find out something about the people of Israel. They're afraid. They're afraid of this giant. And so this is the second part of our story. Remember, we have the first part. We've got Philistines and Israelites ready for war. Goliath wants to settle the score. And now we have Goliath. A challenge is made. So he draws the line in the sand. A challenge is made. God's army is afraid. All right? That's the second part of our story. But then we have a new character introduced into the story, and the man's name is David. Now, he's a young man. We're not quite sure how old he is, but we do know that he's the youngest brother he's got seven older brothers. And the older brothers, they're out with Israel's army. These guys are warriors themselves. And David is left home with his father, Jesse, and he tends to the animals, the sheep and the goats. That's his job. But one day, his father, Jesse, tells David, go down, visit your brothers and the captain of the army and bring them some food. So David leaves what he has and he grabs some grain and some bread and some cheese and he goes down to see them and he gives this to the brothers. And guess what happens while he's down there? A challenge is made and God's army is afraid. So he sees Goliath, who comes out and goes through his whole, you know, intimidating speech about how he's going to kill whoever comes out, and he defies the God of Israel, and he defies the army, and what are you going to do about it? And all of Israel, these men, they start running away, totally freaked out at how huge this guy is. But David responds differently, and David says, who is this guy? Like, who is he that he can defy the armies of Israel? Who is he to say this about our God? And immediately, the men have a lot of information. Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's a scary Philistine, and he's got all this bronze equipment and all this stuff. And if anyone would kill him, he'd get Saul's daughter, and his house is tax exempt and all of this stuff. And David just can't believe what's going on. And what he says to them is he says, well, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? The people of Israel, the army there, they just saw a giant. And they didn't really care what he was doing and why he was there. They were scared. But David saw something different. David saw a man who was defying God. A man who was keeping God's people from doing what they were instructed to do. My question for you is, as you think about your giant in your own life, as you think about what's challenging you, what's bringing you fear, and what's making you apathetic and shake with fear, what does your giant say to you? Does your giant yell with a loud voice and say, you're not able to do this? Does he defy God's calling in your life? What does he say to you? Do you take offense to your giant? Are you willing to listen to him and to submit to him? Or do you take a stand courageously as David did? Well, David gets some of this information from the rest of the army there about who Goliath is, and he asks a few more questions, and his brothers tell him to simmer down, and they say that he's arrogant, and he should be back home tending the animals and all of this stuff. But word starts to spread that there's this young man who has a sunburnt face and interesting, handsome features, as the Bible always describes David, and it goes back to Saul. And King Saul, he calls for him, and he wants to come and talk to David. And so what happens is that basically Saul says, listen, kid, this Goliath guy's pretty huge, and you're kind of a good-looking, cute kid who likes to take care of animals, so let's not get mixed up in that arena. And David just says, well, like, how could you just sit here and let him defy the armies of God? And he starts to say, hey, I've faced other giants in my life. This is in verse 34, if you have your Bibles open. He says that he's faced giants, maybe not 9-foot Goliath giants, but beasts in the field to protect his sheep and his goats. He says, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If an animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw, and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear, will rescue me from this Philistine. So David had courage to defend his animals from the beasts of the field, and he recognized that it wasn't his own strength, it wasn't his own genius that allowed him to do this. It was actually God working through him. It was God who rescued him, God who saved him from these giants. And he looks at Goliath as just another giant, just another obstacle in God's plan of what he wants to do, and he recognized that God would be with him, that it would be no different whatsoever. And so he had the courage to stand and to do this, because David realized that God would be with him, and God is greater than any giant, no matter what his size might be. So to summarize our story, we have the Philistines and the Israelites who are ready for war, and we have Goliath who wants to settle the score. A challenge is made, God's armies are afraid. David was unknown. He said to Saul on the throne, "Never face a giant alone." And this is David's point. David's point is that all these armies, all these men are running around scared because all they see is this 9-foot giant, and they think, "I can't possibly do this. I can't fight this man. He's going to devour me." And David says, "You don't need to, because God is with you. God will sustain you. God will deliver and rescue you from this giant." And so David is very focused on what he wants to do, and Saul tries again to coax him out of it. And he says, "Well, at least why don't you take my armor? You can't go out there with what you're wearing now. This guy's going to just manhandle you. So take some of my armor." Now remember, Saul's this big man himself, so he's trying to put his shield and all this stuff on David. And David says, I'm not used to this. I've never worn this stuff before. I can't move in it. I don't want any of that stuff." So he says, let me use the gifts that I have, and let me just be myself, and God will use me. So he decided that he was just going to go right out onto the battlefield, and he'd have his shepherd's staff, and he'd have his slingshot. The scriptures say that he dropped by a brook, a little creek, and he grabbed up a couple of smooth stones, and he approached giant. And Goliath the giant thought he was a joke. In the scriptures, he says something to the effect of, "Do you think I'm a dog? Because you've come to me with rocks and sticks." And he basically just tells him, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to have the beasts of the air and the field are going to come, and they're going to devour your body. That's got to be pretty intimidating from a man his size. But David gives it right back to him. And he says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel whom you have defied. The Lord will conquer you, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people." The Lord rescues his people. And he calls on the name of the Lord because he recognizes that you should never face a giant alone. And he's pleading that God would be with him. So David runs to meet Goliath, and the battle scene's very short in the scriptures. He runs to meet Goliath, and as they're in attack position, he just grabs a rock out of a shepherd's bag, he puts it in a slingshot, you know, throws it out there, the rock hits Goliath right in the head, and he smacks down to the ground, dead. That's the end of the story. It's pretty simple. Now, as we were constructing Goliath, he was a bit wobbly, and a few people commented, "No wonder why he fell down so easily. I think you could hit him down with a rock. He's a little bottom heavy, and his top is a little wobbly." But that's all it took for David, because God was with him. And he knew that you should never face a giant alone. So if we're to complete our rhyming sequence of the story, we've got the Philistines and the Israelites who are ready for war. Goliath wants to settle the score. A challenge is made. God's army is afraid. David is unknown. He tells Saul on the throne, "Never face a giant alone." A rock hit Goliath in the head. It made the giant fall down dead. David gave God all the glory, which gives us the lesson for our story. Never face a giant alone. God will help you throw the stone. And in this story, we have two different philosophies. We have two different people groups. We have the armies of God who just saw Goliath, this huge thing in their life that was something that was completely overwhelming. They couldn't get over it. They were completely defeated by it. And we had David who saw how God would be able to defeat this Goliath in their life. He understood that you should never face a giant alone. So I ask you to consider again, what sort of giant are you facing today? What's the giant in your life that makes you feel scared? Makes you feel like you're in it all by yourself and that you can never overcome it? Is it the giant of greed? You feel that you're just constantly infatuated with getting more stuff and having to hoard things? Is that a giant that attacks you? Is it the giant of dissatisfaction that no matter what goes on in your life, all the different blessings that go through, you feel just completely inadequate to face that? Is it a relational giant? something that's gone poor in the past. You feel like nothing you can do can reconcile that giant. What giant are you facing today? Well, I challenge you to use the wisdom of this story and the lesson that David gives us, that you should never face a giant by yourself. Because when you do, you're just going to be scared. You're going to be immobile. You're not going to know what to do. But when you call on the name of the Lord for strength and wisdom, he can overcome and will overcome the giants in your life. Because giants are scary, and they're always going to be scary, especially when you try to face them alone. I'm going to ask Mike and the rest of the music team to come up and lead us in a song that really illustrates this story once again about relying on the strength of our God, relying on God to deliver us. And the lyrics say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, what can stand against? It's the same idea of David of saying, if God's with me, if God has shown me how to take down this giant, then what are we doing sitting here? Why are we here scared day in and day out of these obstacles in our life? So it's up to you how you choose to respond. Some of you may wish to respond in quietness and to journal a little bit or to pray to God from where you're seating. Some of you may choose to stand and sing, and that's totally appropriate as well. Also want to highlight that we have prayer tables available on your left and on your right, and we have some people of our prayer team who will be there, and they're willing to listen to you if you'd like to share or just pray with you if you'd like to remain silent. And I'll be at the back as well if you'd like to talk about anything that you've heard today. So let's declare God's power this morning and his ability to help us defeat a giant, because we should never face a giant alone.